to episode 4 of the Spooky Chris podcast. Woo! This time around, I thought I would read a short piece that's going to be in a book I'm actually revising. Because of the many things, and I don't know if anyone's listened to these all, but I kind of ran it down in the first episode. Primarily, I consider myself a writer. I grew up and I am an aficionado of horror. I've been watching and reading and consuming horror since I was a kid. So that's always a big part of me. But along with that, I also, you know, have other interests. But I love to write. I've been writing since I was a kid. It's a huge part of who I am. I mean, just kind of just a general storyteller. So as I say, I figured I would read a story that's going to be in the an upcoming book. The book at the moment is titled Roots of Fire. It is a culmination of several years worth of kind of myth-building I've done. Kind of, I don't know why, I write about, like, three little towns that I made up in Michigan. And the idea behind, these stories are that in the woods that connect those three towns, there are six trees, each one a different type, like a fir, an ash, an oak, and they stand in a circle. And people come to them to get wishes granted. They essentially kind of give an offering, and if the offering is received well, they get a wish. The trees are called the Sisters Six. They are essentially witches. They're witch trees. And they are not from Earth. They are from someplace else. But they also have kind of an opposition that shadows them, who isn't in the woods, but who kind of is around, called the Woodsman. And the book is going to be a collection of all the stories I've written kind of in this kind of mythos cycle, with the culmination being, when I wrote it, I was like, I'm writing a novella, hooray! I guess it's going to be more of a novelette. I don't know, whatever. It's like 70-some pages before I go back to revising, and it's going to be the last thing I revise because it's just a daunting task to head back down that tunnel. It was fun to write, though. The last part, I've been wanting to kind of wrap that cycle up for a while. A guy I know adapted one of the stories into a short film that's pretty fun. And I've been kind of playing around with these characters for a while and talking about them and mentioning them, and I knew in the back of my mind that there was going to be an end, and it was just a matter of when. And finally, kind of, I decided it was time to kind of wrap it up and kind of put that to bed. I've had a lot of projects like that where I'm trying to not let linger into forever, because there never is really forever. So I'm trying to wrap up some of my writing projects. This one, as I say, I could see it coming out, early summer, earlier. I mean, I could put it out whenever. It's a matter of just when I want, how much I want to push myself to get everything edited and laid out and put together and stuff. I'm not in a real rush. I just had finished my novel Roadkill, and I mean officially released it last, this last Friday, which would be, it's 6 days ago. It's been done since January. I was just waiting for an event and kind of got a little antsy and put it out a little earlier. So this story is one of the stories that will be in Roots of Ash. It's kind of a short piece. I thought I would just kind of read it and give you a sample as I... And again, I would be amazed and marvel if anyone's actually listening. I feel like I'm doing these kind of for myself, which I guess is not a bad thing. So this is a story, and maybe I'll yammer for a minute afterwards, but this story is called Happen. Things happen. Not for a reason. Not with a purpose. They just happen. Things happen. This river, for example. In 1932, there was a group that had come over 100 miles for a mass baptism. They'd heard the tales of the women around here, the stories of six sisters who were powerful and old who took water from this place. Some say these people, these travelers, were Christians, Baptists from the South. They weren't. Neither I nor anyone else knows who they were, but they weren't here to visit with Christ. They came for the power, and the power came for them. 73 people were in this river, flooding it with flesh, if you will, when a freak lightning storm broke out. A bolt or two struck the water and killed 64 of those people in the river. The bodies floated down to and past the nearby town and were never seen again. The survivors, those in the river and the 20 on the land, disappeared too. A handful turned up at the offices of area and regional newspapers to tell their story. But within a week, the people were gone, vanished. What did it all mean? Everyone wondered. It meant nothing. It just was. Same as the mother who took her three children into the woods here, hoping to find her lost husband, a man who claimed to hear voices calling him into the thick woodland. They found five pair of shoes, all lined up and neat as can be, near a clearing that no one remembered seeing before. And at the center of that clearing, five new trees. What does it mean? Hocus pocus? Magic? The devil? No. Nothing. It means nothing. Like the story of the four boys that were snatched and murdered in the woods by a madman. No one caught him and no one found the bodies. Fancy that. None of it means anything. Just as it meant nothing when my mother left my father, or my aunt shot her husband, or why I get the shivers when I hear the wind in the trees. Yes, there are reasons for things happening, sure, but things just happen. There need be no grand explanation for everything. I remember being a kid and hearing my mother and father fighting not long before they split up. And I was so scared and upset that this was it. They were going to finally break up for good. I went to my sister and asked her what was happening, why they were arguing, why they were so damn mad. And you know what she told me? Sometimes it just happens. You can ascribe weird reasons for any and every damned thing that exists. You can create a god, a devil, a demon, an angel, an alien, for anything. The truth is what you choose to believe it to be. Absolute truth stands in the shadows where few of us are willing to look, but I will look. And in those shadows, I see happenstance. I see chance. I see that there is no great deity at all, but a butterfly beating its wings on day one, and today we are still feeling its effects. Once upon a time, a man and woman came here to birth their baby in this river. They believed the stories about the river being a place of power and healing. They believed the story of the man, tramp with no home, who had slept by this river in 1923 and had awakened 23 years younger and with an idea that changed how we manufacture a certain thing in this country. The world shook, the heavens fell, life was changed, so they say. So this couple, poor and living in a rented trailer just outside of town in the borderlands where the refuse, human and otherwise, was relegated, came to this place to change their future, to give a future to their baby. They came to this place, the place where three tribes had tried to settle, but where all three had vanished. A place where two women, lovers, came to commit suicide, yet they left these woods alive and nothing more than strangers, never speaking to one another again for as long as they lived. The only hint of their affair being a forgotten note that had been left pinned to a tree. They came here, this couple, and they had their child. They had me. And what am I? I'm a man. I think I'm a man. I had a job, I had a girlfriend, I had a kid, and once upon a time we shared a small apartment. I am neither great nor infamous. I just am. I have no love, loss, pain, and joy. I was told the story of my birth and how the woods became still as the water ran red and my mother had me. Never once screaming, the cold river serving as a sort of anesthesia. Told me of how there was the sound of something moving in the deep parts of the woods, something large and slow that never drew near but circled near them. They told me of how Dad went into the woods after I was born, walking as if in a trance and leaving my mother there, holding me close, the cord still linking us, and he was gone for 2 hours, and the woods were still. When he returned, he didn't remember where he'd been or why he'd left. He just remembered six sisters, six trees. The next day, he had a job at the local mill and was foreman in 2 months. My mother opened a beauty shop in town. By the end of the year, and a year to the day I was born, my sister was born, though she was born in a hospital. And now I'm old. My skin is soft, my hands untouched by hard labor, and my back is straight. I'm a child of modern medicine and have outlived even my own love and our child. I'm an old man, Noah with no ark, Methuselah with no savior. So I come here, day after day after day, to these woods and this river, a place with so many stories and so much lore that it's become almost as storied as the woods that surround its waters. Just last week, they found the body of a boy who'd gone missing in Kansas, but wound up here, dead in this river. No one knows how he got here or why. Things just happen. They happen, and I hate it. I hate the dark shadows of truth that lead me to this place, like Lucifer with his lies. I believed, for as long as I lived, almost, I think, to defy my father, that there is no magic in a world long past dead, a planet and its people waiting to die. I was wrong. I was wrong, and I know that now. Know that as I see my face in the waters and see a man of 30 who is dancing into 75, I know this as I hear the voices now, louder than they were at 10, at 20, at 30, louder than they have ever been calling me here to this place. Now I cannot help but hear the sounds of the things in the woods and the singing of the sisters. And I wonder what terrible price my father paid for my birth. My mother burying myself and my sister after being told she could bear no seed to fruition, and my father, a man with no healthy seed to give. Yet here they came to create me. One moonlit night, I found out on the deathbed of my father as he screamed that the woods were coming closer, and now I wonder if we didn't live amidst them all together all along, trapped in a cage of wood that grew smaller through the years. My daughter and lover dead, killed in a car crash after they went off the road into these woods, and a tree that I'd swear to you had moved into their path. My sister disappeared when she was 21. Depressed and angry and gone one night that was like the night I was conceived. My life better than it should have been. My parents turning from paupers to lords of this small town in a matter of a year. The world changed with my birth, and I don't quite know why. But I am a man born with a borrowed future and a bloody past and no understanding of my present. And now I happen to be here. And I don't believe anymore in happenstance. I don't believe in coincidence. I just don't think we'll ever know upon whose board we're being moved and who is moving us. All I hope is that if I walk a little way into this river, if these rocks in my pockets keep me low and I can stay down and dream for a bit, then maybe this curse will die with me. The trees tell me different, though, and I happen to believe them. So that's my story called Happen. It is eventually going to be part of a book that for now is titled Roots of Ash, which I always feel weird saying titles of stuff because I don't know why. As if there's something new under the sun, as they say, but, you know, in case someone's going to be like, I love that title, I'm going to title my porridge that. Yeah, it's going to be a lot bigger than I thought. I still have one more story I want to write. Much like everything I write, I don't know if anyone will get it or like it or what, but, you know, I'm glad to have it done. I like how it concluded. I like where it went. It's one of those lately, with these bigger projects, it's been kind of dragging myself forward, and I think that's what people always kind of, you know, seem, you know, amazed at anybody that can write. And I always kind of say anybody can write. It's just a matter of having the stories to tell and forcing yourself forward, and that's what it is sometimes. You know, these last two books, I had to drag myself forward until I reached a point where I kind of got some ground under me and really kind of was able to push forward, like, with force. And that's just kind of how it is. Like, you know, with anything, you can learn to play guitar, you can paint, you can sing, you can do anything. It's just a matter of having the drive to do it and the passion to get better at it. I hope that's, you know, kind of how I've been able to do it with my writing. I don't know. I will tell. I put out 17 books that, you know, sell once in a while, but not anything regularly. But that was a kind of a lesson that I learned years ago is, you know, there's only a handful of people that make livings as authors, and the rest of us just kind of learn how to live with, with what we're able to do, and to keep driving forward with our passion and cherishing the few that, you know, kind of get it in the, you know, little success we have. I think that's the way the arts are, though. So I certainly don't write ever thinking I'm going to be famous, but I like to write thinking that someone's going to connect with what I wrote, whatever it is. So this has been episode 4. I am Chris, Spooky Chris. I hope you enjoyed my story. Like I say, the book will be out eventually. All my books are available on Amazon.com. If you look up Chris Ringler, my website's SpookyChris.com. And I'm sure I'll be back much sooner than later to ramble some more. Take care. Thank you.